Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Masters of Marketing. In this episode, I have with me a very, very special guest. His name is Flo Akimbi. He's an expert in public speaking, communication skills. He's been on the world's largest stages, and he spoke with the likes of Arnold Schwarzenegger and Michelle Obama. We discussed public speaking, communication skills, the power of voice, and much, much more. Tune in and enjoy the episode. Flo, I can be.
Exactly.
I love you. I can be.
I can be. You got it. You got it.
Welcome to Masters of Marketing.
Thank you.
Awesome to see you again.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, man.
Ready for a good conversation.
Let's do it. Who is Flo and what do you do for a living? How do you make money, man?
Well, I get money for speaking. I know it sounds funny, but this is really what I do. I work either as a presenter. As a presenter, I host conferences, events, and a few virtual formats literally around the world, which is quite amazing. I get to work here in my hometown where I live in the UAE, in Middle East, in Dubai. But I also get to work sometimes in Europe and in Africa and other places around the world, which is good because I get to look at the world from different perspectives. I get to dive into different industries, different topics, and that's something that I enjoy. That's one side of the business. The second part of the business is that I work as a communication coach. And what's really cool is as a communication coach, I work with corporates, help them to improve their public speaking and presentation skills. And because I get these amazing experiences where I get to meet politicians, I get to meet the celebrities, whether it's the president of a country or it's an A-lister like Arnold Schwarzenegger, one of my favorite A-listers that I met so far on stage. You have these experiences that really feed into the communication coaching, and that's, of course, something that is amazing.
How do you do it? So you said coaching. So how do you coach and then you meet these people? You meet these people through the companies that you're coaching? That's what you mean?
No, I meet somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger when I host a conference. For example, I was hosting Bits and Pretzels, a really cool entrepreneurship conference in Munich.
Yeah.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger was last year our keynote speaker, our main speaker. Okay. So therefore, I get to meet him. And then when you go into the coaching with a corporate, you can share these experiences. Arnold is a little bit more for fun. But of course, it's also what are the learnings that you took away from Arnold's keynote? How did he interact with the audience? What worked well? What didn't? And that's something that is truly valuable for people because somebody like Arnold Schwarzenegger, if you think about it, he's a trained actor and a really successful actor. Right. He's not only a bodybuilder who achieved everything that he could, but also he's a politician. So therefore, as a former governor of California, there's a lot of learnings that you can take from him when you look at how he presents. And that's, of course, something that I share as a communication coach.
So let's say you're coaching me now. I'm a CEO of a company.
Yes.
Then we go together to a summit where Arnold is speaking. That's how we do it.
We could do that and I would enjoy that, but that's not what's happening. So dear CEOs, take me to a summit with Arnold. I would like that.
Yeah.
But here's what's going to happen. You are a CEO of a company, which you are, and you have a big presentation, for example. I mean, that's typically what I would work with a CEO on it. They have one particular speaking engagement. So we prepare for that speaking engagement. We would look at, first of all, what in general are your strengths? What are a few areas of improvements and how do you already present the content that you want to get across? Mm. And then we see how can we refine it? How can we get your strengths, amplify your strengths? How can we work on the areas of improvements? And also, how can we refine your content, make it more attractive and engaging for your audience? That's really what we do. And of course, we use a few cool assessment tools like an AI voice profile. So we also make sure that your voice has enough authority, has a good charisma. Mm. And that's a few of the things that we do together with individuals.
Okay. Yeah. So that's how you make your money.
That's one of these two areas, the communication coaching or the presenter
what
work
makes
is
you
how I make money. It's literally 50-50.
Really?
It is literally 50-50. Yeah. Of course, sometimes one would be stronger than the other, depending also on how I market things or how I push things. But overall, it's nicely balanced and they grow organically, which I enjoy.
Yeah. What do you like more? What part?
Honestly?
Be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a mixture that I get to do, I get to do such a diverse life, right? One day I'm on a stage in front of 5,000 people. The next day I'm in a small room with maybe 10 people or even just one and we're training. And it's really yeah, it's these different work experiences that I truly enjoy. That's something that keeps me going.
And it's good that you enjoy both because you're doing both.
Absolutely.
Because can you actually do only one of them? Is it sustainable for you?
I could, but I need to then just put in more marketing efforts and sales effort into one particular part. Mm. But it would be boring. I don't want to give up one. I mean, the presenter work is really exciting and it's good fun. And I love the traveling and all of those aspects. Mm. And then the communication coaching is really fulfilling. Yeah. When you have somebody that comes afterwards to you and says like, I have found a new job. I have written a book because of me improving my public speaking skills or whatever magic happens. I've converted a client and that brought us now 10 million to the business. That's amazing. So therefore, this is really cool, but it also costs a lot of energy. So therefore, it's good to have two different activities.
Good stuff. Are you single?
No.
No?
I'm married. Okay. I've got a child and a dog.
Okay. You're not looking for another partner in your life?
No, no. We're good here.
I was going to promote you.
No.
Because you're a cool guy. I love you.
I appreciate that.
I could have promoted you more.
But thank you.
Mistaken, guys.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry as well for you. All right. Is it important to shadow potential clients' looks and characters or be yourself? And let me elaborate on that. I've studied sales, been in sales big part of my career, read tons of books, watched seminars, read two videos, like all the big guys in sales. A lot of them say it's important that you shadow your prospect. And what that means is, so if you're going to meet a banker, dress up. If you're going to, or if you're sitting with anybody with a CEO, that is, he's very slow in speaking, he likes to articulate, don't be too fast when speaking. So just shadow him or copy his style, right? And this, they say, this is how people connect. So if you're sitting with someone that speaks very fast and you're speaking very slow, maybe this person doesn't like that energy, right? And you have a certain style. You are, like if I say Flo, people know who Flo is. You have a brand, right? You have always your afro. You always have that positive energy.
Is he? Yeah.
Right? You always dressed up differently.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't necessarily shadow people, I would say. Because I see you when speaking in conferences. You don't look like anybody.
That is the plan. That's a brand.
That's a brand. So do you think it's important to shadow potential customers, clients, looks and characters, or be yourself?
I would say the answer is yes and no. The answer is yes, because there's this really wonderful old public speaking knowledge. If you are presenting at a conference, you should be equally well-dressed on stage as the best-dressed member of the audience. And I agree to that.
As the
best-dressed member of the audience.
As the best-dressed...
The best-dressed member of the audience. Ooh. So if somebody looks really, really amazing in the audience, you need to be at the same level or even maybe just a step above. And I agree to that. However, but I can be well-dressed, but I don't have to have exactly the same style as that person. So for me, that means I don't like to wear ties. Now, what do to get around it? I wear, the Korean color. So there, you can't put a tie on there. And I wear suits that are different. They are suits, but they're not your typical suits. So therefore, I am formal, but I stand out. And that's what I've found. So when it comes to definitely the way how we dress, yes, you got to somehow, maybe not shadow, but you got to match people. If you want to be taken serious, you have to do that. There's a funny little story I can tell. I will have to keep this a little bit confidential. But there was one occasion where I was invited invited to speak at a corporation. We do not name the corporation. And I don't know what happened with me that day, but I showed up in double denim. I don't like to wear denim. I usually, if I wear denim, it's never blue. But that day, I don't know what happened. I wore double denim. So denim shirts, a denim shirt, and denim jeans.
Same color.
Okay. Cool, but yeah. I just didn't really consider. And then what happened, security looked at me. He's like this, you cannot come inside. Suit was mandatory. And I'm like, oh, So they had to call the security control room. Security control room had to call the boss of my contact. And eventually I got the clearance and I got to go inside. But it clearly shows you, if you want to be taken serious, if you want to talk to people at a certain level, you got to make sure that they can take you serious. And that sometimes can mean we need to be aware of how we dress. Now, when we look at the other parts of the communication, you talked about body language. There's a body language technique which is called mirroring. And that does work. If you want to make somebody a little bit more comfortable, for example, in your scenario right now, if I close my arms like this and I just mirror your body language, we are at the same level and it makes people comfortable. So you can play around with that. Now, does that mean I have to necessarily be not authentic anymore? I would say no. I can still be very authentic. I can still have my energy, but maybe I use one aspect of my communication. I change it a little bit so the outcome is better. And also when you think about your voice, if somebody has that energy of, you know, I'm a very slow person, I speak slow, maybe I also think slow. We don't know that, but it could be the case. And then here I come and I'm all bubbly and I'm all speaking fast and I'm rambling on. Then there's a chance that I overwhelm that person. So therefore, me slowing down a little bit, taking a few pauses can help my communication. It doesn't mean that I have to be boring. I can still bring the smile. I can still play around with my voice. But I just make sure that my communication is adjusted to the person that sits opposite of me. That's what I would say. Okay. So shadow, no. Mm. But being aware of what can work better for your audience, absolutely. And never give up your authentic self, because that's your superpower.
It's good that you added this.
Yeah, that's your superpower.
Never give up your
authentic self. Yes. Took me years to really understand what's my authentic self. It really did.
What is your authentic self?
Well, it was a journey.
Oh, yeah.
It was a journey. So for me, the first public speaking engagement was with Toastmasters here in the UAE. Before I would host conferences, more fun sport events in Germany. So cool stuff where you can just do whatever you like to do. Now I come to the UAE, I start being with Toastmasters and I thought like, okay, let's be very formal. And I prepared my cue cards and I delivered a little speech about myself. And my wife, back in the day, my girlfriend, she was in the audience and she supported me, which was really nice. But then afterwards she said, yeah, it was a good speech, but you could have been a little bit more yourself. And I'm like, fucking, how can I be more myself? And it took me really years to understand, it's about the little quirks. It's about how you maybe say a word with more energy, how you usually would smile, how you maybe hold your hand, keep your hands, what are your hands, your gestures. Is this really you who's coming across, or is it just, you know, a very reduced version of yourself? If you think about corporate speakers, monotone voice. Sorry. When you think about corporate speakers, they like to speak like this with a very monotone voice. They don't really speak how they would speak with their friends, with their family. And that is their authentic self. And you want to bring always that flavor into any public speaking and presentation.
Good points, man. All right. So now are you a solopreneur, or you have some team members that work with you in the business?
I thankfully have support.
Okay. Good.
Otherwise, I think I would kill myself.
Good.
I have a team that sits in South Africa. Yeah.
Good. How did you start marketing yourself, your business, and how do you do today?
Well,
and what's the time difference? So when did you start making money, starting that business, being entrepreneur, I don't know, did you work in the corporate world before?
Well, it depends. I was employed.
Yeah.
Well, my very first job, I was a one-man event agency. The first proper job, I was a one-man event agency. Then I took a job with a larger event organization, event agency, experiential marketing agency, which allowed me to come here to the UAE. Mm. I was employed, but then I was happy. I didn't like it. I really didn't like being employed.
Yeah.
I worked there for a couple of years, changed the company, worked for another company for a couple of years, still didn't like the part of being employed. And then I started to work as a freelancer and at the same time to build up my other businesses. So I was still working as a freelance event director, but now freelancing. So that already gave me some freedom. And that's also when I then started to market myself. So as a
How many years ago is that?
I was 2016, yeah. Okay. And when I started marketing myself, I really started with the basics. One of the first things was to set up a website, to create a kind of a PDF profile that you could send to people, to gather as much photos and videos of me hosting, being on stage, and then, of course, promoting that also on Instagram, on social media, then eventually also LinkedIn, and the marketing activities grew over the years. But now I do really a lot of different marketing activities, anything from social media to collaborating with networks and other networking groups to make sure that I get my name out as much as possible. I would do PR campaigns every now and then. Really, I think a healthy marketing mix is what you need. Even if you are a small organization, you can rely on just one channel, but I think you will miss out on opportunities if you just rely on one channel. That's what I would say.
So how are you doing it now? So you said social media. What do you do on social?
Social media for me at the moment, the main channels are really LinkedIn and Instagram.
Okay.
LinkedIn is where I get most of my exciting leads. But then what I find amazing is how the audience stalks you. It's crazy. Digital stalking is real. My friends, it's real. So this is what happens. I would have a corporate inquiry and then somebody would come and say, I already looked at your profile and go like, where did you look out of curiosity? And they go like, okay, well, I first had a look at your LinkedIn profile and then I went onto Instagram and I checked out a few posts and stories and then I hopped over to YouTube and I watched one or two of your videos. I was at your website and also saw a few content pieces there. I'm like, oh, wow, good for you. You already invested a lot of time. But it's good, right? That gives people the credibility. They can look at testimonials on your websites. They can see some references on LinkedIn. They can see some of your content on Instagram. And that gives them already a quite complete picture of who you are and what you do and what you've achieved before they even speak to you. So that's really important. So social media for me is a critical piece of what I do.
Right. And you're active? You post every week on Instagram and on LinkedIn?
Every LinkedIn four to five times a week, Instagram around 3 times a week, and I try to put out as much stories as I can, but I just am passionate enough about stories. I don't want to share everything about my life, but everything that I find relevant and that I also kind of, I choose a little bit of what I want to put on Instagram. And also I've got a family, and as a father, I'm a little bit conscious that yes, I could use my son more for Instagram and social media, but then at the same time, I'm also a little bit conscious that this is also his private space and I don't want to abuse that. So therefore, I choose a little bit of what I put onto Instagram and social media.
And social media, you boost your posts or not?
I do and I don't.
Yeah.
I do and I don't. I don't because I don't do it enough, because Instagram for me is a channel so far that doesn't convert yet that much, which means also that I'm not posting necessarily the right content for Instagram. I did a really, really interesting experiment the other day where I found a video of Emily Blunt. She does some voice exercises, some warm-up, speaking warm-ups. She does these warm-up exercises like pitka, pitka, and so on and so forth. Posted that on LinkedIn. Yeah. The engagement was so poor. And I'm like, okay, not a great content piece. Put it on Instagram, forgot about it. And then after a few weeks, I looked back at it. And the views are insane compared to other views of other videos. We go like, okay, so this content piece really works. So it tells you that you really have to adapt your content. And I've been a little bit lazy with that, being just reusing content too much. So promise to create a little bit more specific content for Instagram that can work better. And then, of course, you can repost it on TikTok as well. I'm not yet on TikTok. I should. Are you on TikTok?
Yeah, but I'm not. Like, I post, but I'm not active as myself.
Yeah.
I barely open it. I just post.
Yeah.
I have my team that helped me post, so I don't post myself.
Nice.
But I am on Instagram, so I open Instagram every day, right? I don't open LinkedIn every day. I don't like LinkedIn.
No.
It's too salesy. Like, people are there to sell and, you know, to sell others. Like, all the salespeople are there, the marketing. So yes, I open it because I follow some brands and I see different content. I like to look at ads. I like to you know, I look at how businesses are marketing themselves. I like to look at individuals, but it's not a platform that I enjoy because I feel like I'm wearing a different hat, right?
Mm.
I like Instagram because it's nice and, you know, I can relax when I'm on Instagram, right? I like it. I like how Instagram is. I like the everything about Instagram. TikTok is a bit too fast and I don't know. The content there, just get me a bit anxious.
Yeah.
Instagram is me. So I like it. I live there, right? Okay, so you do post on Instagram and on LinkedIn. Mm. LinkedIn, the thing is you cannot boost it, right?
I know.
So you can run it as ad. You cannot necessarily boost it as a personal profile. I like Instagram because you can boost it. So you can reach more people. You saw the gentleman now outside. He's like, hey, are you Basim? I don't know if you saw the guy that I just spoke to, right? And that's because I boost my stuff on Instagram. My LinkedIn reach is minimal.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be minimal.
But there's one thing negative about it. Mm. Somebody wants extra money, while LinkedIn, if you have the right content, you don't need to spend extra money on your content. That's what I like about LinkedIn. But it's, of course, not easy.
The reach is minimal.
The reach is minimal, but on LinkedIn, you can reach also the right people. Of course, it always depends on your organization and who you want to talk to. That's of course, a big deal.
I agree. So how do you use LinkedIn?
So for me, LinkedIn, over the years, you asked earlier about when did I really turn into an entrepreneur. That was for me with COVID, because until COVID, I was always working also as a freelance event director. So I had still a safe income. And then with COVID, that events didn't happen anymore. So therefore, I had to fully rely on, well, not so much the presenter work at events, but then, of course, the communication coaching, and I had to be more creative. And that's when entrepreneurship kicked in, and also LinkedIn kicked in for me. And with LinkedIn, what I found is my strategy is really has a few aspects to it. One is posting content that is valuable. That is very important. Two is really to interact with people and be a good community member. And three is then to also connect with people. So whether I'm at an event here, if I meet that gentleman outside, I would be like, oh, let's connect on LinkedIn. And then you can see what I post and you see what I do. I don't even need to sell you anything. I don't need to say anything. You will see. And if I'm right, if I'm a good fit for you, then eventually that conversation will happen. And then on the other hand as well, we connect sometimes when we do campaigns very consciously to CEOs, CMOs, CHROs, basically the C-suite or the learning and development directors of corporate companies. And through us connecting with them, they will see my content. So again, better chances when they need a public speaking coach or when they need a presenter, they know who to talk to because Flow is now on their radar. And that's quite nice about LinkedIn.
Right. So that's how you use it.
Yeah.
And what else other than social media?
So social media, big thing. Then one of the nicest things that has worked for me is network marketing. And network marketing for me is that I collaborate with certain networking groups. I am a part of the German Emirati Joint Business Council. Literally, my first corporate workshop came through them. I did a free workshop for them. And as a result, I got my first corporate gig in. So I got to train then one of the corporates there. And that's always been good. Mm. You give something that adds value to their membership, and therefore they can see who you are. You get exposure to a group of individuals or a group of professionals that are exactly your target clients. And that's how I get business in, which has been fabulous. With that, I also have to say it's very important that you speak to the right groups. I've also done quite a few speaking gigs with other networking organizations, and I've seen zero return, which just tells you that the audience was not yours. So that's important, but it works well. Mm-hmm. Works well. Then every now and then PR. But PR, radio, magazines, I have seen so far it's rare that there's a direct return on invest. It's more you help to build the image. You work on your image and that helps to raise the profile, but it does not really necessarily always convert right away into business. What else do we do? One of the things that I have to say is keep your network up to date. It's amazing to see how many great opportunities still come out of your personal network and to keep everybody informed one way or another, what you do is important. So therefore, that's another one that works really well. Mm. Yeah. These I would say are my main activities.
Good, man.
I would say so. Yeah.
Networking is definitely good. Do you do strategic partnerships with other individuals or companies that serve the same clients?
I do. I do. And
I'm going to send you those, bro.
That's a great photo.
I love it.
Oh, fantastic. Lighting is fantastic. On point.
Right?
Yeah. You see how expressive I am? That's sometimes a bit of a problem if you want to have a good shot from the stage and you're just like...
I love them.
Funny faces.
With the light, like it's perfect, man. That angle.
Wow. Yeah, I like it.
Portrait. I'll send them later.
Yeah. So we're asking about strategic partnerships. Mm. Yes, I do. As a presenter, for example, I am listed with a few speaker bureaus or entertainment agencies that sometimes will get me business. But it's not enough that I could survive of that. But, every now and then a nice opportunity comes through them. Same goes as a communication coach. I work with a few training institutes together and they would also sometimes get me business. So these kind of strategic partnerships also help to every now and then get a piece of business in.
Makes sense.
It's not as much. And I have to say the best opportunities really come through my own marketing and sales efforts. That's definitely what I see.
Okay. Do you do any Google ads? Do you invest in SEO?
I have tried Google ads multiple times. Mm. I'm so bad at it. I even worked with people together so far. Google ads did not work for me really. Okay. But again, I think it's the approach that is not right yet. So I need to find the right partners, maybe invest more. Mm. SEO, I launched a new website, but I have not invested in it yet.
Okay.
I need to.
So the leads that you get now are through your network. So word of mouth or referrals.
Absolutely.
Through these strategic partnerships that you have.
Yeah.
And through your LinkedIn and a little bit through Instagram.
Absolutely.
Mainly.
Yeah. Right? These are really the main ones.
Awesome.
I would say so.
Good stuff, man. Is it crucial for every person to develop his or her speaking skills? And if yes, how to?
Well, if you ask me, I would say yes, it is. Why? Because great public speaking and communication skills can do so many amazing things for you. But can you have a successful life without public speaking skills? Yes, of course you can as well. Mm. I'm just going to be very honest. Mm. However, when you speak in front of an audience, it's very simple. When I have a conversation with you, it's me and you, or it's me and one business that have a conversation. When I'm speaking on a stage, I can speak to 5, 10, 100, 1,000 businesses or more all at the same time. And if I deliver a great speech, if I give value to the audience, if my energy and everything is on point, then I have a really good chance that some exciting opportunities come out of this speaking engagement. And that's what I've seen. If you are a great communicator and you are in an interview and you want to actually secure that job, you want to win it, then being a great communicator is a benefit. And I've seen that with so many people that if you're able to express yourself in the right ways, magic happens. Whether you win pitches, whether you become actually so engaging that people want to work with you, It's outstanding what can happen. And one of my favorite stories, I touched early on that, was I worked with a sports coach, a Nigerian fella, very good guy. And I made him work hard because he wanted a discount. So I was like, okay, you got to work hard for that discount. And it was amazing what happened. He did his sessions with me. Afterwards, I didn't hear from him for a while. And then I get a message and he's like, well, Flo, I think I need to thank you. I'm like, that's very kind of you. Why? And he's like, well, I wrote a book. Actually, I didn't write one book. I wrote two books. Because what you said along the lines of the public speaking coaching inspired me that I have a message and I want to share it. Now, let me just make this clear. I'm not a coach that will help you to write books or to find your professional calling. However, if you grow in that area, it does so many things for you. And that's really wonderful to see. Yeah, so in short, It's a huge advantage to be successful, to be a great communicator. Yeah.
How to develop it? What are the best ways and easiest ways to develop public speaking skills?
Well, the best ways, There's many roads and routes that you can take. The easiest ways also, it's not an easy answer because every person is different. So everybody has to have a unique journey. What is really effective is to do public speaking training. Can be with me, but it can be with anyone out there that just has a good experience and does the right training for you, with you. It's good if you work with a coach because then you get feedback, you get tools that are explained to you and you can create your own mix. You can also, of course, do the learning by yourself. There's a lot of online courses out there. There's a lot of speeches and content on YouTube out there that you can consume and therefore learn. But what's very important, no matter how you want to progress, you need to speak. It does not happen just by learning. So just by reading books, the chances are very low that you will get a better speaker. So you got to find speaking opportunities, whether that's with a coach or with whomever, and go out there, speak, take feedback in, work on that, refine, and work on your own style, and that's how you become better.
Mm.
It's a bit of a process, and the process is unique for everybody.
And public speaking is only when you are speaking in front of an audience, or public speaking is that just you just go to a restaurant and you're speaking to someone?
I love that question. You know, it's actually one of my favorite questions because
good.
For me, I love the definition of public speaking is an elevated conversation.
Mm.
Elevated because you need to do more in that conversation. And conversation because it still should be that conversation. So no matter if I am a waiter who comes to a table and there's one or two people and I'm presenting the menu, I can just stand there with my hands in the pocket and just present to you like that. Or I can do a little bit more. And that's what makes it better. And that can be really in any scenario. And the cool thing is also the skills of public speaking. That skill of communication is what you can use in many different scenarios. I sometimes use the skill when I send voice messages instead of just sending a boring voice message. I go like, hey, how you doing? And what's happening? And as a result, I get always, oh, Flo, I love your messages. Yeah, your energy is so contagious. Mm. It's so great. It's so nice to hear voice messages. But I'm not faking it. This is my own energy. But I tap into just a slightly different expression of my energy because I can. And I have understood that. When I wake up in the morning, I'm like, but if I'm at my best, this is what I sound like. So I can project that I sound at my best.
Mm.
So it's a great skill and you can really use it in so many different applications.
Love it. So one way to develop public speaking skills is to have a coach.
Yes.
Another way is to take courses.
Yeah.
Enroll to programs like Masters, what is it called? The one that we did.
Toastmasters, Masterclass, so many,
And then, what else did you say?
Well, you can watch.
Watch YouTube videos, etc. Okay.
The learning that you should do is ongoing. And honestly, if you want to get ideas, I don't know where I came up with that the other day. I put into ChatGPT, give me 15 or as many ideas as you can about how I can improve my public speaking skills. 25 ideas, anything from record yourself to read out loud. And there's really a lot of things you can do. If you want to improve, it's about actually doing the work.
All right. And the program with you, how does it look like?
So it depends. If we do a group workshop, usually we do ideally a 2-day workshop. And in a group workshop, first, we will always focus on delivery. Because when you talk about delivery, it's about your authentic speaking style, it's your voice, it's your body language, it's about sometimes stage fright and confidence. Mm. We bring in that element of the wow factor in your communication, which you can find in your delivery as well.
Yeah.
And then also talk about creating that connection, how to create a connection with other human beings and, of course, with the audience. So that's always the first part because then we can practice that throughout the workshop. And then the second part is all about content. How do you make your content work for your audience?
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do. I like to use that analogy. Think about you have a couple of balls and you would just throw them at the wall. Maybe one of them would stick to the wall if you don't plan your communication. Instead of if you have maybe one or two messages and you throw them at the wall and they definitely will stick, that's what you want to have. You want to have communication that works for your audiences, messages that stick with the audience. And that's about working with your content. So therefore, storytelling, communication structures, the wow factor in your content as well. And these kind of things is what you need to work on to be a better communicator. Of course, with a few language hacks and other things.
Yeah. Makes sense. Do you see my content on Instagram?
I do.
Okay. And you've seen me a few times in public.
Yes.
What do you think I can improve? Be honest and blunt. I like, because okay. You've seen me, and I'm sure, like, when you look at people, sometimes you'll be like, if he only improves that, or like, this guy knows. Be honest and blunt.
I'm going to be honest.
Be my brother.
He's my friend, right? I might be in trouble. No, joking aside. One of the things that I do with almost every coachee at the moment, because it works so well, is a voice assessment. Because when you do this AI voice assessment, it's a German company, a third party that I work with, you get a really deep knowledge into what's a charisma score of somebody. And I say you can do more with your voice. Why can you do more with your voice? Let me give you a bit of background.
Yeah.
If you play around a little bit more with your voice, a little bit more of voice modulation, what you can get across is more authority, more competence. You can get more inspiration projected into the audience. And also you can get more of that motivation that, yes, we got to do something together. And all of that comes through the voice, not listening at the words. And that's really insane. So the company that I work with, they've done a test where they listened to pitches from Dragon Den, a show like Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to tell whether somebody will get money.
Wow.
And how what do you think is the percentage of how often they were right or wrong? What do you think? How often do you think the computer can tell whether somebody will get the money or not?
50%?
60 to 80%. The computer can tell whether somebody will get money or not by just listening to the voice.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's why I will say one of the things you could do a little bit more is to play around with your voice. It's good fun.
All right.
You know how you practice that?
No, but I'm going to take it offline with you. But tell me, how do you practice that?
Read out loud.
Read out loud?
Yeah. You've got children.
Yeah.
So therefore, in the evening when you read out loud, you just do the voices, you speed up a little bit, you slow down, you go loud, you whisper a little bit, you do crazy voices to just make your voice more colorful.
Mm.
And that's a really easy one.
Good one, man. Thank you.
My pleasure.
I'm going to take you up on this. I'm going to get feedback from you.
Okay.
When I develop it. And what about this AI program? Is that something that I can use?
You can, yes. We just need a voice recording from you, or we can take that video that we have right now and we'll convert it into an audio file, send that over, and then we get a report. The report gives us a charisma score from 0 to 100, and then a breakdown into the different aspects of your voice. Okay. And what's cool is, of course, I can listen to a voice and already tell you some things, and I am usually right. But then, of course, I am one human being. I might have a bad day. And with this voice profile, it's like your voice is being shown to an audience of a few thousand people virtually. And they all tell, this is how charismatic I think he is. Okay. So therefore, it's a pretty accurate.
Best practices to standing out while speaking. Best practices to standing out while speaking. And maybe just speaking, like, how do you stand out just speaking to anybody? Like now we came in, we spoke to a couple of guys. You stood out because you hugged the guy immediately. You thought it was someone else. This guy is going to remember you for life.
How do you stand out? Using your authentic superpowers, connecting really with people, having that urge to connect with people. And to when you think about speaking professionally on the stage, doing something different. And also in life, doing something different. That's really what it is. For me, one of the best ways to stand out is to practice that skill of communication with strangers. Because when you're in an elevator, nobody likes to talk to you. Everybody's like that. So I connect with people. I go like, hey, how's your day? I give people compliments. I try to have a conversation with strangers. Many times they do not want a conversation right now, but many times they do want a conversation. And through this practice, I have that skill of creating instant connections with people. And that helps you also what you can do to stand out. And on stage, in presentations, I will also say to do more. Do something extra. Be different. Dare to be different. Don't just deliver the same pitch presentation as your competitor did before. Do something else. If everybody uses PowerPoint, find a different medium. Make it exciting. That's how you are memorable. Think about a wow factor in your delivery and content.
And that's, if you go back to just being in a normal situation, not on stage, how do you stand out?
Well, first of all, you can use your appearance to stand out. The way how you dress, the way how you move, your body language is incredible. I recently had the opportunity to meet Michelle Obama on stage, and we also saw her backstage. And you know what was on point? Her body language. Out of the entire group, there were maybe 10, 15 people around her. And then there was the 3-4 of us that were backstage allowed. And nobody had the same outstanding body language as nobody. Nobody could match Michelle's body language. Of course, it's trained. Of course, it's practiced. But it helps her to stand out. Mm. It's the little things where you can really stand out.
So your look, your body language,
your voice, the way how you speak.
Can you develop charisma?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Because the voice has a lot to do with charisma. Mm. And that's what we can develop. And also, if you think about it, the skill of connecting with people, that's something we can develop. You can learn humor. I mean, humor is really a skill that you can learn. You can go to a comedy class, and if you do comedy classes for long enough, you will be able to crack jokes or make everybody laugh. Just be funny on the spot. And these are really skills that everybody can learn. The question is, do you want to put in that effort and invest that time? Yeah.
Makes sense. And if yes, talk to me. Okay. To you, I mean.
Talk to me. You can always talk to me.
And if yes, talk to him.
Yeah. Anytime. Works.
Yeah. What's the importance of voice in speaking? What's the importance of voice in speaking?
Well, you just demonstrated it. When you whisper, for example, it's like telling a secret. So you're leaning in. So you're signaling to the audience that this content piece is very important. So therefore, your voice carries so much weight. And I gave this example before that through voice, you can win business. So the voice in speaking is this incredible tool. You can use it to get attention. You can use it to get people excited. You can use it to get people motivated. And it's fun. It works with your children. It works with adults. And it's a great tool. Please, 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 everybody, work on your voice. It's a really good tool.
How do you work on your voice?
Reading out loud. Doing different voices, learning a little bit about voice modulation, and that's not that complicated. Mm. Even if you just do the simple things already, like speaking a little bit louder, speaking a bit softer, doing pauses, speaking a bit faster and slower, and if you can, working on that pitch also. You know, the difference between if I walk into a room and say, good morning, nobody cares. But if I go in and say, good morning, everybody immediately smiles, and therefore you get a reaction. You can manipulate people in a positive way through your voice, also in a negative way. Mm. And that's really why the voice is such an important tool for speaking.
And you can help people with that.
Yes, that's definitely part of what we do.
Yeah. And are there any courses? Because practicing alone, or just not knowing what to do. So now I do not know how to do it, right? I don't know how to improve my voice.
Yes.
So is there, like, what is the easiest way for me to improve my voice?
You can always record yourself and listen back to it.
But how would I know what I need to improve?
Let's say you work on one specific skill of speaking slower and faster.
Would I know if speaking slower and faster is one of the things that I need to develop?
Well, if you want to, we just say we want to work on voice modulation in general. Mm. So therefore, you can work on that specific. But of course, if you work with a professional, I can tell you through my profile and assessments that I do, I can tell you exactly what are the things that will benefit you. I will give you many options. You choose at the end what you want to do because it's not my job to turn you into a robot. It's about you identifying what really makes you excited. But therefore, it works if you then record yourself, if you do the practice and repeat that works. And professional guidance, of course, speeds up the process. But getting a bit of feedback is always important. And feedback from people that have experience.
So I got you. So now, for example, if I want to improve my voice, but I don't want to work with a coach, right? Because I don't want to go and invest my time and money, whatever it is.
Absolutely fine.
How do I go and improve it? So I just Google how to improve my, how to make my voice stand out. Is that something to look at? And do I get like courses on Udemy or YouTube?
Yes, you get courses on Udemy and YouTube. Mm. The problem is if you do just do a course where you don't get feedback, it's a bit tricky, but already that can help you a little bit. If you do the exercises, you can find AI tools out there. They are, again, not as good as a human being giving you feedback, but also another way to improve. Right. Or you can even just look in your network. Where's a good speaker? Where's a really experienced speaker? Ask them for a bit of feedback.
Got you.
There's always somebody who can guide you. There's always somebody.
Awesome. How important personal branding is to win new clients or get better jobs? Maybe share some best practices.
Well, I would say personal branding is a huge part of what you do, because if you don't tell the audience and tell the world what you do, well, it's very difficult for them to understand whether they can work with you or not. And that is, for me, part of personal branding, to tell your story, to tell your achievements, to tell your successes in the right way. And also to create and shape that image of you and be memorable. So therefore, for me, personal branding is a huge element of success. And when I ask people, for example, to work on their introductions, I also ask them always to think about their authority in the right way, rather than just saying, for example, I'm Flo Akinbi, I'm a presenter. I can say, I'm Flo Akinbi. I'm an international presenter. I work at events, conferences, and virtual formats. And I have been on stage with celebrities like Arnold, Michelle, and whatnot. And just to make people understand, I know it's a bit of name dropping, but it helps people to understand. And that's also part of your personal brand. And it goes beyond then. It goes into social media, that you have a consistency is very important, right? A consistent appearance on social media that feeds into your website, and you create this powerful brand. And today it's not that difficult anymore.
Yeah.
Because tools are available, accessible, affordable.
You're right.
Yes.
Makes sense, man. And I can add on that as well from a personal point of view or perspective. I tell people, man, just invest in personal branding. But and a lot of my videos talk about this because I see the benefits. I've been creating videos for, I don't know, 3-4 years. But now I hired a videographer in-house to do that seriously. And you could see the content for the past year since that person joined us until now. The content quality is completely different. So he does the editing, he shoots it with the right camera, with a microphone, whatever. Mm. He takes care of it, right? And I could see already the impact. Mm. Now people stop me and I say like, hey, Bassem, we know you. Hey, but, and all the time. And this happens like every time I go out, I get stopped, right? So imagine how many people actually don't stop me, but they be like, ah, they know me. And that helps us as well with business. They say, yeah, we've been following Bassem.
Yeah.
You know, we know that you guys know what you're talking about. So that's huge for us in terms of conversion. Maybe not leads, but conversion, because it builds trust. People Absolutely. Come to your website and be like, these guys know what they're talking about.
Absolutely.
And not landing on your website and they could read a fake testimonial or a fake award, right? I land on your page and I'd be like, okay, this guy knows what he's talking about. Right? Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Run out of time. Always a pleasure to see you, my man.
Same here.
Thank you for coming, taking the time.
It was a pleasure to be here.
Yes.
Can't wait for the next one.
Yeah, they're going to be the next one?
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man, we should.